Radio, the leading edge program on new consciousness and emerging spirituality. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I like to interview guests who are bringing us new technologies, new ideas, and really expanding the mind. So New Realities is dedicated to exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. And the series started out as a television show, and you can still see it on television every Monday night at 9 p.m. on Channel 57 in Manhattan and at mnn.org on the Internet. You can also check my website for a list of past guests that have been on the television show, and we'll be adding the radio guests soon. But that website is New Realities, newrealities.tv. And if you have any questions or suggestions or comments, you can always call me, or email me, rather, at newrealities@earthlink.net. So part of what this program is about is bringing a forum for key events that are happening, especially in New York City, but also around the world. This weekend was just a expo called the New Life Expo in New York, where I spoke about the nature of symbology and understanding realities on all levels of consciousness. You can email me if you want a tape of that talk, but there were also a lot of other interesting people there. Also coming up in New York, April 13th to the 15th, the Omega Institute is sponsoring a conference called Being Fearless. And that will have keynote speakers Al Gore and Jane Goodall. Jane Goodall, if you know, is one of the pioneering people in saving the chimpanzees and her research into chimpanzee communication. But now she's a real staunch environmentalist, and she goes around the world talking about how we need to protect our animal friends. Also coming up this Friday in New York is a lecture called Beyond Tantra, Sensuality and Spirituality and the Big O. That will be by Nicole Dadone, and that will be at the Centerpoint Yoga Studios. That's Friday, April 6th. Centerpoint Yoga Studios, 8 p.m. And if you're in New York, come on down. It's 324 Lafayette Street, and the suggested price is $25. Following up on the tantric theme, there's one of the real originators of Tantra. If you don't know what Tantra is, just look it up on the Internet. But it's basically the art of conscious loving, whatever that means to you. Anyway, Charles Muir, who is one of the originators of Western Tantra and the Western Tantric tradition, and hopefully he'll be one of the guests on my program, is doing a course in New York May 4th to the 6th called Tantra, the Art of Conscious Loving. And I'll be having other guests talk about Tantra in the upcoming weeks. Also coming up this month, this is a very exciting month, will be a throwback to the old spiritualist movements in the 1860s, something called physical mediumship. And Hoyt Robinette will be doing precipitated art. This is where pictures, painting-like photographs, appear on cards that have been done by spirit. These blank cards are put into a basket, and during the course of the seance, they have precipitated art. Art appears on these cards, and if you are interested in that, and coming to that, you can have to make a reservation because it's very limited seating, but the reservation for that is 201-342-2279, I have. If there's any other questions, just email me. Oh, one more thing that's coming up is a trip that I am organizing to Domenher, Italy. And Domenher, Italy is one of, it is the largest eco-village. It's the largest spiritual community. It was founded about 20 years ago by a person named Falco, who had a dream to build temples in the earth, and they hollowed out a whole mountain and created these beautiful underground structures. So there's a trip leaving at the end of April, and you can still get on that if it sounds exciting to you, or if you would like to explore different ways people are living. And you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net about that. You can also look up Domenher on the internet, Damanhur, and that's in Italy, and that should be a very exciting adventure for everyone coming along. I'm going to be having a guest tonight. The first guest will be David DeMarie, who originated these healing tools along with his sister, who had a vision of a master coming to him, coming to her. The master directed her how to use specific tools, develop these tools, and promote accelerated healing in the body. So David is a representative of these tools. We'll be talking about the application of these healing tools, where to find them, and actually its development and history, because it is a manifestation of a higher level of consciousness. The second guest tonight will come on around a half hour after that, around 10 o'clock New York time, 7 o'clock West Coast time, and that will be Finbar Ross. And Finbar is creating a Divine Feminine conference here in New York, but he also travels around the world and doing these conferences. And many of the women that are involved in emerging spirituality and the ancient ways of the goddess are on that tour, and they'll be giving a workshop, our whole day intensive here in New York, and that'll be at the Meta Center. The number of the Meta Center is 212-736-0999. So that's some of what's happening. In the next coming weeks, I'll be talking about a panel with J.J. Hertog and Alex Gray, and Lynn McTaggart, who wrote The Intention Experiment, is also coming back to New York. A bunch of my interviews are up on YouTube, and you can check out New Realities on YouTube, and you can see a list of all the exciting kind of recent interviews. There's one called Global Friends that is getting a lot of comments, and that's combining consciousness and the environment and seeing on a spiritual level what is really happening with the earth changes. And J.J. Hertog, Desiree Hertog are both on that, along with a Greenland shaman named Uncle and a journalist named Nita Renfro. So let's see if the first guest is on the line. Don, do we have our first guest, or in a minute? I actually said. Okay, one more minute for the first guest, and just come on, Don, and let me know when we have him there. And if you're having problems getting through, just let me know. Okay, so let me just give you a few more.
He is there.
Oh, we're there? Don?
This is David.
David, good. Good to hear from you.
Certainly.
I just did a little introduction to what you'll be talking about with the biogenesis tools, but can you give an overview? And I think the most interesting thing is the development, how these healing tools actually came into existence. So
okay.
Thank you for being on the show.
Certainly. Do you want me, when do you want me to go
yeah.
ahead?
Yeah, well, go ahead. You're on. So
okay.
You can just say, I mean, to describe them, they're mostly these glass-made crystal shapes, but I think the way they came about and then the details about them. So, yeah, go in and just tell us what these are and how they came to be.
Certainly. Well, biogenesis basically is just a simple technology to make life better. We use these glass tools that contain an energy called Genesis Energy. And they then radiate that energy to your body or to your environment, whether it's your home or your office, to restore harmony. And they do it on every level. And they're very easy to use, and they're very effective, whether it's restoring harmony to your body, such as to physical traumas or to various diseases ranging from diabetes to arthritis, whether it's with your emotions, such as someone who's lonely or someone suffering from depression or bipolar disorder, someone who's had an emotional trauma. So they have a broad range.
But David, let me just ask you, this Genesis Energy, is that something you've named or as a kind of name you created, or is it a new energy?
It's a very, very old energy, but this technology has not been on Earth since the days of Atlantis. We were introduced to this technology back in 1999 by an ascended master named Lantos. Now, my sister, Cindy, speaks with Lantos. All her life, she's had the ability to see angels and other types of celestial beings. But one day,
do other people see that besides her? When this Lantos appeared to her, was he actually visible?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been there when she's spoken to him, and I don't see him. But then again, I'm also a lawyer, so
maybe
a
lot of people. But you're still a lawyer after traveling all over selling these healing tools.
But maybe you need to be a lawyer. We do know other people.
But if it's energy change when the Lantos appears, you feel something.
Yes, absolutely. You can
just describe that for
you,
because that's an objective view of what happens.
Right. And when Cindy sees him, you know, a lot of people use the term channeling, but for Cindy,
right,
that's not actually accurate, mainly because she's never had the ability to channel. Rather, she physically sees him. She physically hears his voice. It's, you know, Alan, it's just like if you've got a dog sitting next to you and someone half a mile away blows a dog whistle. You don't hear
right,
it, but the dog does. It's just on a frequency that the dog...
So her sensitivity is more attuned to those levels of vibration.
Exactly. So for her, it is no different from if you call up a friend and invite your friend to come over for a cup of coffee and a conversation, just that in this case, your friend doesn't have to use the front door. They simply show up.
But she was always open to this, though, huh?
Right. She's always been open to this. And
does she see other masters besides this? I know we're getting off the topic a little bit. I think it's really interesting. Does she see other beings?
She has seen several others, but Lantos is the one who has specifically given her the information about biogenesis.
I see. So, and this is old energy from Atlantis, old healing energy.
Actually, he said this is millions and millions of years old, but it was last used on Earth in the days of Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
So,
and now it's being reintroduced.
For tens of thousands of years, and then it was reintroduced back in 1999.
This new energy that's coming in. And what makes this particular energy different from, let's say, Reiki or other piezoelectric effects in crystals? You know, they put off a kind of electric charge.
Right. This energy is very simple. It's fundamental. It contains merely a memory, the memory of the process of creation. And that's not any historical point in time, but rather the actual process by which energy surrounds itself with form, creating matter, creating an atom. The memory of that process is what is contained within the Genesis energy. And when that energy comes into contact with anything, it restores that memory. But that actually enlivens the very process of creation. And that
would you say it's the original blueprint then for the organism itself?
Yes, absolutely. And Lantos actually told Cindy one time, he said, it is very important to realize that harmony is structured quite simply, quite effectively, by strengthening the inherent qualities of a region. And this is accomplished by enlivening the sequence of initial rotations. This is biogenesis.
Wait, say that last part again. Enlivening what?
It enlivens the sequence of initial rotations. In fact,
what does that mean?
In the days of Atlantis, biogenesis, the technology, was not called biogenesis. It was called initial rotations, or primary rotations, synonymous.
What does that mean, the rotation, though?
Initial rotations is the process of creation. And Lantos hasn't gone into much more detail on that, but he did say that there is this set of initial rotations that gives rise to all of creation. And the memory of that process...
Is she going to be writing a book about this, about her experiences?
You know, sooner or later, we'll definitely do that.
And would she like to be a guest on the radio show, too?
Someday she would love to be able to talk with you,
because she's not public at this point, right?
That's right. That's right. I tend to deal with the people, and Cindy, she stays at home out in Hawaii, and she gets to talk to Lantos, and then she gets to tell me what he said, and I get to tell everybody else that.
And then there's quite a process in the development of these actual tools, because they're unique shapes, and they're clear glass, right?
Well, some of them are clear and some of them are colored, and they're all made by hand.
Each tool is made by hand?
Yes, they're all made by hand. Each one is made by hand of very high quality glass. Lantos explained that we have the Genesis energy in something called a Genesis device. It's a device that we place an item into it, and then a period of a while later, it comes back out, and it will hold the Genesis energy in it. So this device is able to instill the Genesis energy into anything else we put into it. That could be something
even people then.
It's not large enough to put a person in, but we.
Oh, I see. That would be great if it was.
It certainly would.
It's like pottery. You put it in the fire, and takes on the essence of the solidity, right?
Right, right. However, Lantos explained that pure glass has the ability, when it has taken on the Genesis energy, to turn around and be able to radiate it to its environment. So the glass is able to serve as a conduit for the Genesis energy, to take it from the Genesis device and then radiate it to its environment. So that's why we use glass tools.
Glass holds that Genesis frequency the best?
Everything is able to hold it. We could use a very, a very stable, sturdy form of plastic and put it in there, and then it would come back out, and it would hold the Genesis energy just as well as the glass does, but it wouldn't be able to radiate it. And radiating the Genesis energy is what makes the tool useful, because you want to get...
So the way they're radiating, glass then is the only substance you're saying that will radiate the energy.
Well, Lantos actually did say that certain types of precious metals would be able to, but he didn't say exactly what those types of metals were. And we just decided that we'd prefer to go with glass as opposed to using, for example, solid gold for the tools.
But there's such unusual shapes. I mean, you take this glass, and Lantos gives you the proportions for these certain instruments.
He's given us the exact shapes for everything, and he explained that while each of the tools holds the Genesis energy, the shape of that piece of glass will determine how the Genesis energy is going to be radiated to its environment. And that determines what the...
Well, explain that a little bit. Talk about some of the different shapes and how it does radiate to the environment.
Well, for example, we have an eight-sided pyramid that is designed to radiate the Genesis energy very gently throughout the environment to help restore harmony to the environment, such as to your office or to your home. It will establish a stable foundation of harmony, and it will remove the negativity from the environment, which improves the environment. It improves the relationships. It improves the people within the environment, the animals within the environment. But then we can take another tool called the Flame of Genesis that looks more like an icicle, where it has a...
Yes, actually, I have one. I've been using that a lot.
That's
I met you.
Been using.
And it's been chipped, and you're saying, even though it's been chipped.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't lose the energy. But the shape has changed a little bit, though.
You wouldn't have to worry about it affecting the tool unless the chip was so severe that it altered the fundamental design of the tool.
No, not really.
So if you broke it in half, then you'd have to worry about that.
So the flame then is used for more direct healing, right?
Well, because of its design, it no longer gently radiates the Genesis energy. Instead, it focuses and directs that energy, and that allows it to be very effective at restoring harmony to several areas within the physical body, ranging from physical traumas, whether it's recent, such as you just got a cut or you just broke a finger or stubbed a toe or anything like
that. Let's say you did get a cut or broke a finger. What would that do? By waving this flame over the finger, it won't heal the break, though, will it?
You know, it restores harmony, and in different instances, that's going to mean different things. What we can tell you is that of our experiences with broken bones, most of them are anecdotal, as far as people can feel a very severe pain, and the type of trauma was one that would normally result in a break, and then one day or 2 days later, there was no more pain, there was no more swelling, there was no more bruising, they had full functionality. We've had physicians who have told us, again, anecdotally, they haven't x-rayed it, but when they break a toe, one physician's wife was a nurse, and her horse had stepped on her foot and broke her big toe. She used the flame for about an hour, and then the next morning, there was no sign of physical trauma. Her husband had thought it had been broken. The next morning, he said, it's perfectly fine. But then we have had a couple of instances where people did go in and get x-rays, and they were able to see the break. They were able to see the fracture or multiple fractures. Then they used the flame, and then the next day, the person seemed to not be in any pain. There was no swelling. There was no difficulty. They went back in, got more x-rays, and the fractures were completely gone. The break.
Really? So that's documented then by doctors.
Right, right. So we certainly have instances, you know, and again, they weren't in controlled settings where we could say...
Well, if you go in and have an x-ray and then you take another x-ray, that's pretty controlled.
You know, over the course of 24 hours, when a fracture disappears completely and the only thing that you did was use the flame, then it's fairly safe to assume it, even though it's not a fully controlled experiment. But
I'd love to see that. Now, do you have a website where maybe some of this stuff can be documented or found? You have a website, though, right?
Yes, we do have a website.
And I just give that because we have another 8 or so minutes, but just tell people how to find you and your products. And
Certainly.
Get a catalog.
Our website is www.biogenesis.us. So that's biogenesis.us. And they can go onto our website. They can look at the different tools to see what they're relevant for. And most importantly, they can look to see when we're doing seminars in their areas, because we give free 2-day seminars each weekend around the country and also in Europe. And those are the most beneficial ways for people to learn about biogenesis, because it's free, there's no obligation to do anything, but they get to learn about the tools, they get to experience them, they get the opportunity to actually give sessions and receive sessions and to hear other people's experiences. So those are very beneficial for people.
Well, how many different tools are there?
Well, we actually have about a dozen different tools, and then we have things called the Wheels of Genesis. And they look like the Lifesaver candies, just larger, about an inch and a half in diameter instead of just a quarter of an inch in diameter. And those, we have 27 Wheels of Genesis, and each one does something different.
What would those do? And also talk about the new products or new technologies that have also come out.
Right, the Wheel of Hope. Well, the Wheels of Genesis are able to do a number of different things, but they're especially beneficial when you're dealing with emotional issues. such as depression or manic depression or loneliness or emotional traumas.
But those that will areas. Take away your depression, would it?
Well, I'll tell you, this is one area where we get the most experience of people in cooperation with their doctors, because we have a lot of people who are on antidepressants, and they ask us, what should we do? And we say, well, you should wear this wheel, have it with you all day, every day. It's very simple. You just put it in your pocket. But as you start to feel better, which they invariably do, then we tell them you should speak with your doctor and tell him you're starting to feel better, and tell him you'd like to work with him to try to reduce the dosages and follow your doctor's advice. And they always tell us the same thing. 6 to 8 weeks later, they're entirely off their medication. They're entirely off their antidepressants. Their doctors are, in almost all cases, utterly surprised by it. Because some of these people have been on antidepressants for 20, 30 years.
Well, don't they tell the doctor, hey, look,
they do.
Out.
Whether their doctor believes that was responsible for it or not is something else. But they
do. You don't know why they're responsible for that?
Well, they sometimes they think that, well, it was just a coincidence.
After 20 years and suddenly they do something, they think, well, you know, of course they can't believe, because it really doesn't make sense, does it, to our logical mind.
It's very difficult to understand how something so simple could be so effective, especially in an area that can be so fundamental to one's life. And yet, that's the nature of this energy. And you know it very well, Alan, that many of the most important and effective things in life happen to be fundamentally simple. And that's exactly
But it's also not, it hasn't been documented scientifically, so it's hard for people who are so controlled by the scientific model to accept something outside that paradigm.
That's right.
So is there a way to measure the energy?
Well, I don't know of any way to measure the energy. What I certainly know is a way to measure the effect of it. So we have things that will affect blood pressure, and you can certainly measure that, and we see that over and over. We have one of the wheels that is useful for diabetes, and again, we see people over and over telling us that they, for in some cases 30 years, have never measured their blood sugar count below a certain level, such as 225, and then they use this wheel, and the next day
What's that wheel called?
It's called the Dark Blue Progress Wheel of Genesis. And that one is beneficial for a number of things, including restoring harmony to diabetes. And we see people again and again seeing a much greater effect when they use that wheel than even when they're on medication. So we can easily measure the benefits.
But let me ask you, there's more and more tools emerging, right? Lantos is appearing to your sister and saying, give him this one.
He continues to appear to Cindy. He continues to speak with Cindy. And at the very beginning, he gave us many, many different tools that he referred to as the body, the vital limbs and organs of the body of Genesis. However, over the time, he has added a couple of tools as it became necessary. And just last year, he added a new tool because this is a very, very special period of time. He said that there are many, many great beings of light that are giving great gifts to the earth. And one of those gifts is the Wheel of Hope. He said that the Wheel of Hope, which is our newest tool, is a wheel that is designed not just to restore hope, because it restores hope indirectly. What it's designed to do is enliven the mechanics responsible for the fulfillment of desires. And he said that hope is a natural byproduct of the state of being in fulfillment. It is a natural byproduct of the fulfillment of one's desires. And so that's what the newest tool is designed to do. It is designed simply to enliven the process of the fulfillment of desires.
Well, David, it sounds great, and I think as we start to evolve to greater and greater frequencies, it seems like more tools will become available at this level of frequency, right?
Well, it could very well be, but I'll tell you, we see a lot of exciting things.
Well, you should be a guest again. I have another guest coming up, but we'll be in touch. And just give your website and also a telephone number if you want. And
certainly. Again, our website for people is www.biogenesis.us. And a toll-free number for people if they'd like to call in to get information or find out if we're doing a seminar in their area is 1-888-722-2213. So that's 888-722-2213. And for your listeners in New York City, we'll be doing a class in just 2 weeks here in New York City.
Well, this also goes out everywhere around the world over the Internet. I mean, BBS Radio is just worldwide. So everyone will be hearing about this.
Well,
now. Outstanding. So, David, thank you. And we'll be in touch. You have my number, right?
Yes, I do, Alan. Thank you so much. It's great speaking
Thanks for the
with
information. I'd love to talk to Cindy and Montos at some point.
Certainly. Take care, Alan.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
See you soon. That was David DeMarie for Genesis. We have another guest coming up. Is the other guest there? I'll just play some music.
Yes, we have your guest now.
We have our guest. Our next guest is Finbar Ross. Finbar.
Hi, Alan.
Hi. Thanks for being a guest on New Realities. And it was good meeting you finally after hearing about you. And tell us a little bit
lovely
about
meeting you, too.
Yes, thanks. And tell us a little bit about the Divine Feminine conferences that you're doing around the world. And what is, I mean, I know what the Divine Feminine, I think I do, so tell us what that is and why are you doing these conferences?
Well, in 1990, I started having experiences with Mother Mary. And
her coming to you.
About,
did you see, you saw her.
I saw her and she would talk to me and sometimes I'd be driving along in the car and suddenly she'd be in the back seat talking to me.
Uh-huh.
And 3 years ago, I was going to Gallup, New Mexico to see a friend of mine who was in the intensive care. And I was driving through Winslow, Arizona at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly the voice in the back of the car says to me, isn't it about time you did a conference on the Divine Feminine?
Uh-huh.
And I said,
yeah.
Okay, when I get back from this trip, I'll do something about it.
Uh-huh.
So about a week later, I get back, and I call my friend Margaret Starbird, who I had lunch with about a week before that in Seattle, and I said to her, Margaret, I've been asked to do a conference on the Divine Feminine. Would you like to be a speaker? And she
now, Margaret Starbird, she's the writer of
The Woman with the Alabaster Jar, Mary Magdalene and the Gospels, Mary Magdalene, Bride in Exile, and a couple
of
other books.
So is this sort of like these conferences then a tribute to the aspect of Mary as the Divine Feminine or other aspects of the Divine Feminine?
All aspects of the Divine Feminine, because if you look at Mother Mary, if you look at Mary Magdalene, if you look at Kuan Yin, if you look at Tara, Isis, all of those, Sophia, you know, would be, to me, Sophia would be the Great Mother, would be the feminine aspect of God, which would be the Holy Spirit.
But
and,
let me just ask you a question about all these different manifestations. Are they all different manifestations of the same energy, or are they different energies different beings, like different people.
They're all aspects of Sophia, of the Divine Feminine. What they are doing is they're appearing in different guises, if you would like to put it that way. And because they will come, like, I believe that when we incarnate and we decide to come in, we bring certain streams of energy with us where we have agreed to do certain work before we come in.
Right.
And so we would have a stream of energy that would connect to, say, you get a lot of people who say, I'm the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene, or I'm the reincarnation of Kuan Yin, or, you know, they have all these different, you know, Joseph of Arimathea, all of these different things. So I believe, my belief is that we carry a stream of energy. And it's like a cord that connects us back to either Mother Mary or the Divine Feminine.
Because well, even Mother Mary or the Mary, the Mother of Jesus, she must have been connected to an older stream that she tapped into as she achieved a higher level of spirituality, right?
That's correct.
But she didn't create her own stream. She tapped into an already existing stream.
Yeah. The way that I would look at it is that Mother Mary was the earthly manifestation of Sophia. And that then you would have Mary Magdalene as who came in to do a job with Jesus, where you would have Jesus bringing into Christ consciousness. So he brought in the energy. Mary Magdalene was the feminine aspect of it. And I would look at her as the soul of that consciousness because she didn't walk the earth with it.
She did not walk the earth with it. Mary Magdalene did not walk the earth with it.
She did, yes.
She did. But these were also human beings that had to evolve towards that energy. They had to do their own work here as incarnational beings and achieve that level. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I don't know, maybe Jesus was, but I think he actually did do his own work and in order to reach the level of being a divine being. That was, I think, the final initiation was his crucifixion and then being able to resurrect the body and showing that this is possible for all to do, but it was a test for him as well. That's my belief. Would you not agree with that?
I believe there was definitely a test for him, and if you go back to the crucifixion, you had the four people that were, my understanding of the four people that held the energy for him to go through the initiation was Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joseph of Arimathea, and John, the Apostle.
And my they held the energy
the four of those held the energy for him to go through the initiation.
You know what's a really interesting comment in the New Testament that no one ever talks about is that Jesus said to Mary, make sure they don't break the bones of my legs when they take me off the cross, because I think if those legs were broken, he would not have been able to pull the earth energy back in through his body to resurrect the life force.
That's correct, yes.
And so what do you think about the fact that then Mary Magdalene was performing some sort of tantric Isis initiation, sexual practice in order to bring Jesus back into the body?
Well,
have you heard that one?
She was anointing him because in the anointings, if you look at the ancient times, they anointed the bodies in a special way. And I believe that his body was so badly beaten and bruised and everything else that the whole thing about it was when they were wrapping him to put him into the tomb, all of these oils were put in him. And the reason she was going back was because to do further anointing to the body.
So you don't think it was an Isis initiation, like, you know, in the ancient Egyptians, Isis found the phallus of Osiris and animated that body by absorbing the energy into her body in a sort of a ritual initiation. You don't think it was that?
I don't think it was that, but if you look at most of the initiations and if you look at everything that is said about Jesus and all the different initiations he went through, by the time he was like 12, he had gone through all the Essene initiations, which included 3 days in the sarcophagus. And after his little chat in the temple with the priest, Joseph of Arimathea, when he was, 12 or 13, Joseph of Arimathea then decided it was time for him, who was his uncle, decided it was time for him to get out of town. So he took him to Glastonbury. He took him to, and in Glastonbury, he spent 5 years doing Druid initiations.
I see. Now, where did you get that information? Where does that come from?
That is very much so in the Celtic tradition. If you go to the Celtic tradition, it talks about him coming over because Joseph of Arimathea was on the High Council of the Druids, as well as being an Essene.
Because there's also talk of Jesus being in India. I mean, he really got around, you know.
Well, he really got around.
But, just...
Excuse me.
You okay?
After
it's okay. We're not in a rush. We can take our time.
Well, he came to our... excuse me.
It's okay. We're just... do you want to take a little break? Or Gus Porter, or Sidbar Ross, who is the initiator of the Divine Feminine Conferences around the U.S., and I guess in Europe as well you'll be doing these conferences.
That's yes. For the second year we're going to Ireland and England with them.
But getting back to, like, Jesus, and you were saying that his body was badly bruised and... Mary Magdalene anointed it. What do you think about the Shroud of Turin? Do you think that then is the life force, a document of the life force coming back into the body? Or do you think the Shroud of Turin
is something
else?
I believe that that is the situation.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, now, this divine feminine aspect is bringing back all the... rays of the divine feminine. I mean, the Mary Magdalene, the Mother Mary, are one aspect of how that energy is manifested now. And how does the Sophia? What does the Sophia energy look like? And also talk about the dialogue between Jesus and Sophia in the work called the Pista Sophia. Have you read that?
I have read it, yes.
And so what is Sophia? What, I mean, I know it means wisdom, but what is actually, what does that mean? I mean, who was Sophia?
Well, if you want to look at it in one way, you could call it that Sophia was God's wife, because she would be the feminine aspect of God.
But is God an individual being? I mean, isn't God, let's say, all things?
God is all things. Right.
So,
you know,
I mean, it's not so a form.
It's
masculine
and feminine.
It's not a form that would have a wife if it's all aspects of all things.
Yes.
So,
and
but I'm...
So,
yeah,
I suppose we need to get to a place where we have something that we can understand about the masculine and the feminine. So a lot of people have in their mind that God is masculine.
Okay.
And then, you know, start to have... So for people to be able to understand about Sophia, an easy way is to put it that Sophia is the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I see. Also called the Shekinah, would you say?
Yeah.
So that is the same energy, the Shekinah energy in the Jewish religion, the Holy Spirit in Christianity, or Sophia, I guess, to the Greeks, right?
Yeah. But Christianity, they didn't like the name Sophia, you know, so she's very rarely mentioned. And it's only Nicholas Roerich possibly was the first person to start bringing out a lot of stuff about Sophia.
Uh-huh. And where did he get it from? How was he able to resurrect that?
Well, he brought a lot of his paintings. You know, a lot of Nicholas Roerich's paintings was about Sophia.
Yeah,
and,
but where did he get that information from?
I would say that he possibly got a divine intervention.
So maybe perhaps Sophia appeared to him as well in that form.
Yes.
Because
it's like, you know, if you take Glenda Green, you have Jesus appearing to Glenda Green, and she has painted these photographs of Jesus and the Lamb, and he explained to her how to paint it, and she has written the book about it, and, you know, she's another amazing person who's had all sorts of experiences with Jesus.
And who's Glenda Green? Is she coming to your conference?
She's speaking for me in Phoenix.
Oh, I see.
But she's coming to, she's not speaking in New York. She's speaking in Phoenix.
Do you tap into any of the Hindu goddesses like Kali or Durga or Lakshmi, you know?
I myself had a major experience with Lakshmi in India last year.
Lakshmi being the goddess of wealth and abundance. Yeah, tell us about that. That sounds great.
Well, usually I go into this little temple in a place called Tapovan in India.
Where's that? Which part of India? Because I've been to India.
It's in Maheshwar.
Is that the north?
It's the home of the Agnihotra fires,
the
ancient
fires. Yeah.
And just about a mile from where the little ashram that we stay in, there's this beautiful little temple. And so I went down there, and usually what happens is when I walk in and have an experience, that first of all, I feel the energy, and then there's a tightness comes across my head, and then the next thing I want to do is go to sleep. All I want to do is lie down, go to sleep, and allow whatever information is going to be downloaded comes down. And
do you smell things? I know when the Virgin Mary appears to people, there's usually the smell of roses. That's been common to a lot of apparitions. Do you smell anything like that?
Oh, yes, you get a sweet smell. Sometimes you get a sweet smell. More times you just feel that you're totally and absolutely wrapped in love. It is the most unbelievable experience. You know, I've had hundreds of experiences with Mother Mary. The other person I've had it with is St. Teresa.
St. Teresa of Avila, or?
No, the St. Teresa of the Little Flower.
You have her appear to you as well.
Yeah. They take her little bones around, you know, and I think it's the Cistercians or somebody like that take them around, and every time I come in contact with those, all I want to do, I'm just totally and absolutely wrapped in love, and it's like just a magical experience that one can't describe. There's so much joy.
What happened with Lakshmi, though, because everyone wants Lakshmi.
Well, she is the most loving, kind, wonderful being.
Did she actually appear in physical form to you?
No, she didn't appear in physical form to me. I could, close my eyes and see her, and I could feel her, and she would just talk to me about love.
Do these beings ever give you anything like a boon? Because there's been documented where when these beings appear, they often give a gift or a tribute that comes into physical form. Has that happened to you?
No.
Okay. Well, it might. Get ready.
Yeah.
Because it does. In lots of cases, they give people some kind of physicality of their existence, but.
I got a bell from Mother Mary that I use with the Divine Feminine Emotional Healing work that I do.
You got a bell from her? Did it manifest?
No, a bell.
A bell? That manifested?
Yeah, and I hit the bell, and it makes, every time I hit the bell, like if I was working with you with the bell, every time I hit it, it would have a different vibration, a different sound.
Can you hit the bell now? Can we hear it?
Pardon?
Do you have it with you?
No, I don't.
All right. But this bell, is this bell like handed to you from Mary?
It just appeared.
It just appeared like in the place when you were having one of the Mary visitations.
Yeah, and it has no note on it. And all the bells I have seen made by this company all have a note on it to say what note the bell is.
Oh.
This bell has no note on it, but it has the stamp of the company that made it.
But, oh, so it was more like a transport from place to place or some kind of, I mean, I've seen stuff like that come and materialize out of nowhere out of
but there is
places.
No note, and nobody can tell me what note it is because it doesn't play the same note for twice.
So did you have to do something internally to have these beings appear to you? How did it actually happen? What did you shift inside yourself?
Well, I was searching back in the late 80s, and
uh-huh.
I was looking, and I knew that every time I went, I was brought up a Catholic, and my grandfather was a Protestant, so I was like brought up in a mixed religion between Catholics and Protestants, and, you know, I could never get answers to questions, and so by the time I was, you know, in the late 80s, I was beside myself. So the only person I would talk at that stage about religion was Mother Mary. I'd start chatting to her. And so then I would be doing the rosary, and I'd be on the Zen bench. I'd be meditating and be on the Zen bench. And the next day...
What were you doing?
Pardon?
You were meditating and doing what?
I'd be, you know, on my Zen bench. You know what is
Zen bench? Oh, your Zen bench. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the next thing I'd know,
I'd
wake up.
So you're meditating and then doing the rosary, and then what happened?
I would wake up, and I'd be on the floor. And I had no idea how I got on the floor, but I could have been on the floor for an hour or 2 hours.
Right.
And I would wake up, and I would have tears rolling down my face, and I would have all this joy and all this energy. And I would be in a total place of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the experiences started with Mother Mary. And then she would, at times, she would envelope herself right down over me. And then she would start talking to me when I was driving the car. It was like I had a passenger in the back seat.
Mm.
And she would say,
so you know the feeling.
You
have a sense of what that feeling, every time you're in contact with her, you have a certain feeling that comes over you that is connected to her, you're saying.
That's correct, yeah.
And so she is you feel like she's with you all the time, or she comes in and out of being with you?
I feel she's with me all the time in my heart. There is no chat of a doubt about that. She is always within me. Because I
but other times she does manifest. We're almost out of time here. Just give how do people get in touch with you? It's been a great conversation, and let's do like a television program as well. But just tell people how to get in touch with you and your website and your telephone numbers.
Okay, they can get in touch with me at www.celticmysticaljourneys.com, and the telephone number is 1-877-756-8763. Or my direct line is 520-260-1248.
Well, thank you. And there'll be a conference coming up in New York, April 28th and 29th. And call that number.
At the Meta Center.
Thank you, Finbar. Give me a call this week while you're in New York, and let's get together, okay?
Okay, Alan. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is Alan Steinfeld. I was talking to Finbar Ross, and this is New Realities, and it's connected to my New Realities television show that's seen every Monday night on Channel 57 on MNN.org. And if you want to email me about anything you've heard here, email me to newrealities@earthlink.net, and I welcome your comments. We'll be on again, and here's a song that I really like that I usually go out with called The Night Before the Future, and it's by Duke Williams and the Extremes, and we'll be having lots of interesting guests over the next bunch of weeks, so I hope to hear from you. If you're listening out there, thank you, and here is Duke. Thank you.
way back and take it away, or to just make it better off staying in bed and not doing a thing but relaxing in bed. Just remember, things you see might not quite be your own reality. The best thing is to change.